But there's only one song today. I hope you all enjoy it.
Do you need to push the button, Eric?
Yes, you need to hit the button. I have no buttons. I have no chat room. I just got me, my telephone, and you, and my Let's Talk family.
Well, you say the word when you want me to say go.
Okay, go.
On my shoulders, pressure to break or retreat at every turn, facing the fear that the truth I discover, no telling how all this will work out, but I've come too far.
Your song of the day, Freedom, from the movie Django, starring Jamie Foxx. Hope y'all enjoyed that. You know, that made me think about a program I was listening to on the radio today, on NPR.
Yeah.
And it was crazy, because they were talking about, and we talk about this all the time on the show, but I think sometimes y'all don't really take us serious. But there's this quantum physicist guy on there. I forgot his name, But he was talking about everything we talk about, the robots, the mind control. You know, I mean, he was hitting it on the head. He said we think that it is make-believe. He said, but it's not make-believe. It is true. You know, he did say that MLK project was a bunch of hogwash. Of course, we know that's really not as much hogwash as they make you believe. But, hey, that's what's going on with that. Woo! Sister Connie, where you at?
I'm here, Eric. I was trying to hear what you were talking about. You said this. What's really happening?
About robots being able to control. Oh, you know, have you seen the movie Surrogates with Bruce Willis?
No.
Okay, this is where people can stay in their house and they have like robots to go out and do their daily jobs and things like that.
Hmm.
Well, anyway. He said they are already working on surrogates. No, he didn't say working. He said they already have surrogates like that already out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, wow. He said, you know, he's basically saying, you know, things we think are just hogwash or make-believe is not really make-believe. I mean, he's breaking it down.
Well, you know, they're always 100 years ahead of us. With the information they let out to the peasants, you know what I'm saying, is 100 years behind already having social engineering. We talk about it on your program all the time.
Right. You know, mm-hmm. but it's interesting that we talk about it, but to hear actual physicists, scientists talk about it, you know, it kind of makes you go, just a little bit.
Yeah, it's different. It really is. It kind of stretches the mind to wrap your mind around some of the things that we have happening in our world today. Now, we've got a big conversation going on in the chat room here, and they're heated up.
What they heated up about?
Oh, I think they don't like what we're talking about or something, but I could be wrong because, you know, they've been talking back and forth for a while, talking about catastrophes, so forth and so on. Then someone says, but if you guys want to think gloom and doom, be my guest. I'll just live life one day at a time and try to control the things I can.
Well, you know, that person should understand that's all we can do.
But you can open your eyes and look around and check it out.
Exactly. That helps you live it just a little bit better.
Because when everybody else is out rioting in the streets, if you already know what's coming at you, then you can make plan B.
Amen. You know. But, y'all, hey, it's Mad Monday. You don't like what we're talking about? Call in and give us a topic to talk about. 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or the chat room. Hey, co-host and told you, chat room is already popping. So www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, all one word. All right. Now, it's that time, y'all. It's that time to get that quote in and get some more knowledge dropped on you. It sounds like a whole lot of fun now. All right, you ready? You ready? You ready, co-host?
Yes, I'm ready, Eric.
Here we go.
Never let a bad day make you feel like you have a bad life. And that quote is by Eric Jackson Sr., Mr. Talk himself.
All right. I think he deserves a clap.
I think so, but I got to make sure I don't push the wrong button like I usually do. So let me make sure I get the applause. Here we go for Eric Senior.
All right. Oh, Lord have mercy. Can we have that quote one more time? One more again.
Never let a bad day make you feel like you have a bad life. Eric Jackson Senior. I was listening to one of your about a year ago, talk shows, and that's where I got that quote from.
And you know what? That is so true. You know, that goes back to what I usually say at the end of the shows. you know, learn to laugh at yourself. Learn to laugh, period. And you'll be surprised. You know what I mean? You really will. Surprised how just, it may be something just went wrong. And here's the thing. Some things just go wrong, not all day, but just for a moment. And you let that just destroy your whole day. And then if you dwell on it long enough, it does more than destroy your whole day. It begins to eat at you. Then you begin looking old, and next thing you know, your life is gone because you let that one thing bother you. So that's why I say don't let it do that. You know, learn to laugh. Laugh at yourself is nothing else. And you'd be surprised how easy you be able to deal with stuff. So that's where that quote came from. That's a good one, though. I like that.
I'm sure you do, Mr. Talk. Words of wisdom, and I think by now I have picked up the fact that you have a very sunny disposition, a very positive outlook on life, and that is beautiful. But I would also like to offer this words of wisdom.
Uh-huh.
Our emotions, whether they be happy or sad, are all for a purpose of our spiritual growth and evolution. So people, don't be afraid to feel whatever it is you feel and deal with whatever it is you got to deal with.
That's a good one. And you know what? I'm glad you said that because, you know, me and my better half was talking today, and we was talking about dreams, you know, and it was like, how come some people can have dreams and they could get up and revisualize your dream and actually use it? They know the dream. They say they're going to remember the dream, but once they're awake, they can't remember anything. You know, so when we're chatting about it, I said, number one, you got to understand, you are in a whole different dimension. And, you know, you're in a spiritual realm, and you're being shown some things. Now, why some people can hold on to it and some people can't, now this is my theory, of course, and it's simple. You have to trust what you're being told. If you don't trust what you're being told, you can say, I won't remember all you want to. But you are not, once you hit this conscious body again, you're not going to remember because you didn't trust what you saw or was shown in your dream. Now, like I say, that's just my opinion, but that's the way I see it. What you think?
Well, I think that could be possible, but I also think we have to remember that we're not all at the same level of conscious awareness, and we're not all working on our spiritual evolution. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying, you know. We're not all yet able to interpret our dreams for many different reasons. So, you know, it's the only thing I know to say, you know. But I tell you, one thing I did find out. They say,
what's that?
This might be an old folks tale, but they say if you put a bowl or water under your bed, whoa, you will have some very vivid dreams, and that happened to me. I did it, and it really did, because I very rarely remember my dreams.
You know, I'm gonna try that tonight. Like,
yep.
I really need to have more vivid dreams than what I already have, but I'm gonna try. Oh Lord, I am gonna try.
When you dropped off again and I thought I was talking to your family and guests and newcomers out there, I was telling them, but I was muted. I was telling them, you know, on Blog Talk, on Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio, here at Mr. Talk Show, we talk about any and everything. And so I was just the newcomers that, you know, fasten your seatbelt because we cover a lot of territory here. And, and I want to encourage the newcomers to call in like you did, you know, and share with us what's on their mind. Today's Mad Monday, so I think we're game for whatever comes up, right?
That's right. We waiting and ready. That's for sure. Waiting and ready.
So we have some people waiting on the line, Eric. Mr. Robert Barber has been waiting for 35 minutes, bless his heart. What do you think? We ought to let him come and tell us what's on his mind?
Let him come in.
Welcome, Mr. Barber. Welcome to Let's Talk. Well, maybe he got tired of waiting, and now he walked away to get something to drink in the kitchen, and he doesn't know his mic is open. But I'm sure he'll return.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure he'll be back.
Who
yes,
else we got on the line?
We don't have anyone else on the line at this time
okay.
that has their hand up. We have lots of callers on the line. They just don't have their hand
up.
I guess they're being shy.
Oh, that's what it is. They're being shy. All right, y'all. Y'all know we don't be shy on this show. Get some hands up. I know there's something y'all mad about. Well, yeah, ladies, I know your man did something that pissed you off over the weekend that you want to talk about. Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, yeah. Oh.
Well, I sent Mr. Barbara a message letting him know his mic is open, so when he decides he wants to join us, I'm sure he will. So is it secret, your destination, where you're going? Is that a secret?
No. That's not a secret. Not a secret at all. I'm headed to Crescent City, y'all. I'm going to New Orleans. That's where I've been.
Have you been there before, Eric?
Nope. Haven't been there before.
So is this Mardi Gras time?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, you're going to get wild and crazy then.
Yeah, I'm going to go and find Lou. We're going to get wild and crazy together.
All right. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
A brand new adventure.
Yeah, a brand new adventure.
You know,
yeah.
Travel gets your, it kind of regenerates you, gets your juices flowing, just a change of environment. It always does that for me anyway. I love it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, sometimes you just have to get away. You need, everybody needs that break. You know, not only from just your environment, daily environment, but you have to take into context from your other half, your better half. You know, sometimes you need to get away from them too.
Oh.
I'm just saying. You know, it's not like going out of town or nothing, but you know, it can be like you know, letting them go play bingo or let them go out with the girls or let him go out with the boys. You know, just that time apart. And basically what that does is help you appreciate them just a little bit more.
I think
and of course, that's
wisdom.
My take.
I think that's wisdom because personally, I know it's taught that you're supposed to join together and become one. But I'm more of the philosophy that you're supposed to have some spaces in between, the two whole people that freely and willfully choose to share their love and their space and their time and their mind and, you know, with each other.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree. I agree with you 100%. And that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I kind of was flashing back to last week when we were talking with a lady that was on the show. I won't call any name because she might not want to, you know, to have her name called in regard to this conversation. But, you know, I was thinking about that, really deeply thinking about that dialogue. And I don't know if I'm just a daredevil or something, you know, but I think if you remember a long time ago when I read from Cahil Gibran's The Prophet book about love that, you know, if you only want to experience love's joy and happiness, then you should remove yourself from the threshing floor of love because, you know, love has something to teach us. So I think it's important to have an open heart and you have to become vulnerable, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
I think you have to be willing to become vulnerable because, you know, love is a giving of yourself and a giving out of what you feel inside of yourself to another. And sometimes it's not received or reciprocated, you know.
Right,
and that's when you really discover what love truly is. Because if you, you know what I'm saying, if you don't still feel it, it wasn't love.
Yeah. But you know, here's the thing. A lot of people, you know, you hit the word right on the net, on the word vulnerable. A lot of them, you know, and this from, say, past relationships or what have you, you know, when you say vulnerability, they're like, no, never again. And I think that would help ruin some relationships before they even get started, because nobody's willing to be vulnerable anymore.
Well, it's more like business. It's more like a business deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, well, let me see. You know, if I get this and that and the other, I might try you out a little bit. But if I don't get this, that, and the other, well, I'm out of here.
You know, that's one of them logic. This is where that logic, where I can grow to love him, come from. You know, yeah, you know, we hang out together, but okay, financially, we can make it. But as far as loving him, I don't love him. Maybe I can grow to love him. You know, that's because they still don't want to be vulnerable at all. You know, maybe somewhere
well,
down
Eric,
the line, Go ahead.
Well, I didn't mean to cut you off. You finish your thought.
No, I'm just saying, and maybe that's where, maybe somewhere down the line, they're vulnerable. That's when they decide, okay, it's okay to be a little vulnerable, you know, and then that love supposedly comes in. But I don't know. I think you have to be a little vulnerable from the beginning, like you said. And because if you marry someone or get with someone and say, well, maybe eventually I can love him or her, you know, that's shooting yourself in the foot and the person that you're in the relationship with, you know, especially if they're really giving their all and you're not giving anything. That's just crazy. But go ahead, I'm through.
That's a business deal, okay? And let's remember, there's a difference between growing to love someone, which I think is possible, and being in love with someone. That's two different things.
Okay.
See, you don't plan to fall in love with somebody. I mean, that just happens. It just runs you over like a Mack truck. You know what I mean?
Now, I'm glad you brought that up. So I'm going to ask this question, and what is the difference between being in love and loving someone? What is the difference in that?
Well, you know,
what makes that such
falling
difference?
In love is like it's a romantic kind of thing. You know, just like the clip you played of Muji when he told the woman, you know, she said all her life she thinks all of her suffering came from loving with attachment. And he said, well, if it's romantic love, sometimes let the trouble come, because those kind of relationships can show you things about yourself that other loving relationships cannot expose. Sometimes we have things from other lifetimes that we have that we're not aware of. Or, like you said, you might be bringing some baggage from previous disappointments or experiences, you know, earlier in life, and you're not aware that you're carrying that load. And so he said, now, love, that's a different, there's different, that's a different, you know, spiritual love is not conditional, you know. Romantic love is conditional. I think romantic love. And remember, I love this. I remember Mr. Beasley said this, and I've never forgotten it. He said, romantic love has an expiration date.
I say romantic love has an expiration date.
Yeah, because you see, if there's not two people that both willingly want to share love with each other, then the other one who's giving this oozing love can't stay there and ooze forever, or else you're a doormat, okay? Now, that doesn't mean you stop caring for that person, but you got to say, okay, well, this ain't working, so, you know, you can't make somebody love you back, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think that's where he was coming from.
You know, that's a good question, too. Can you make somebody love you back? Can you do enough to change their mind to where they can fall in love with you?
I wouldn't want to. I mean, you know, either if love is given freely or it's not. No, I don't want to cajole or bribe or, you know, no, I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay.
No, because love is something that you have inside of yourself, and you freely give it. It comes from within you, and you give it. And if it's returned, if the other person has love to give in return, then that's great. But, I mean, why would you want to pull it like you're pulling teeth? I don't think so. I wouldn't want that guy. How about you?
You wouldn't want that? Okay. All right.
That gets into obligation. You setting up, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep. All right,
I don't think I'll...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. I'm sure it's difficult for you to hear if you're on the road.
Oh, I was just going to say, all right, y'all, make them phone lines wake up. 347-838-8622.
Let me check for you. Okay, Robert is letting me know. Let me see. There's only one love, and that is consciousness. Okay, well, Robert, come on the phone and tell us about it. Your mic has been open for a while now. But it
did
shows
you hear my last did you hear the conversation I had on the other line?
No, sir. Kyle, how are you? First and foremost, how are you today, Mr. Robert Barber?
I am. I'm getting fatigued. But I have to go to consciousness to repower up, and that's what I've done.
All righty. Well, share this with us, please. I see you.
Yes.
Is that private? It was private, so maybe you don't want me to read, but you wrote
to. I've been, like, working, like, all get out. When God, if you want to call him God, I call him consciousness. When consciousness works through synchronicity, then he gives you the power to go ahead and keep your mind alert and the fingertips nice and fresh and soft and feely, working those keys on the keyboard. So I've been hurriedly trying to get my product finished up and finish up my website. It's when one person's doing it, it's tough. It's hard. And you gotta grind away. You gotta get up, shake your legs out, get coffee, come back, walk across the street to the bodega corner store. Thank God it's real close. You know how New York is. We got a lot of bodegas, right? And then, other than that, I'm feeling good.
Well, that's wonderful, that's Robert. Now we were talking about love, and you said there's only one love. So that's very interesting concept. Would you share more of your idea about that? Because I happen to think there's not only one love, but you go ahead and tell us what you think about it.
There is only one true love. The rest is artificial. Human beings put tags. They make up things where they take their emotions and think they're in love or out of love. That kind of thing, but I'm talking about consciousness love. Consciousness love is that part of you that's in you and only part of you, because if you were pure love, you wouldn't exist. You would vaporize. Only consciousness is pure love, and you can see that up in the heavens. Light everywhere, and it's really truly amazing that once you can use synchronicity to hook up your part of love with consciousness love, great things can take place. And sometimes people on the earth side use that part of love to inspire others and get together with the opposite sex, things of that sort. But there is no other kind of love. There's only one kind of love.
You mean there's only one kind of love for you, Robert?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
that's right.
And you know who you remind me of right now? You remind
what?
Me of St. Augustine.
Who?
St. Augustine.
I ain't no St. Augustus.
Well, the reason why you remind me of...
all wrong. Huh?
I'm teasing you.
What happened?
I'm teasing you. Now, I just opened someone 404's mic. Welcome to join the conversation. I don't know who your name is.
You know who it is. Big West on the scene now. You know
Brother
how
West,
you call.
To hear your voice, been a long time. We were about ready to call the posse out in the National Guard to see where you were at.
It's been a minute. I've been going through transition of life as usual. But
all right. Well, I want to introduce you in case you didn't know Mr. Robert Barber. He was talking to us about love.
Yeah,
and so let's have dialogue.
You said something about the one kind of love, but you never got to the one love. But from where I see it, and I like the way, I like what you said, Mr. Gomer. That's his perspective of what he sees. Okay, I think the big mistake he made was trying to tell what somebody else sees about love. But from where I see it, I wouldn't say a love. It's like a attachment. The one is you're going to be with somebody for so long, so eventually. Like in everything in life, you're going to end up saying goodbye, and you're going to end up still being by yourself. So I think the love he was saying is for the love of the Creator that made us. Because from where I sit, I know, I've been noticing there's a lot of people that so far been in love and in many years, and all of a sudden they're splitting up. I don't know if it's by their synchronicity ran out or their time ran out, but eventually, so from where I sit, my perspective is, I'm not going to get attached to no human being or no nothing on this earth and plane, because eventually you're going to have to end up saying goodbye to them anyway. And so, I mean, if you're lucky to find someone that you made to be with or you can enjoy each other's time and y'all on the same tone and same frequency, that's love, and you love and cherish that relationship for as long as you can, because eventually, I mean, if y'all live to be 100 or whatever, one of y'all going to go first, and you're going to end up being by yourself. And so I'm just learning not to be too attached to no human being, no person, no thing, i.e. nothing that man can make, either what Creator make, because eventually you're going to end up going back to the source, or y'all going to end up splitting up anyway. So that's my perspective. If you're lucky enough to find somebody that you can roll with over a particular time, man, you got love and cherish them, and when they split up, y'all split up, you're going to have some memories are either good or bad.
Okay. That's some good stuff, Wesley, but let me ask you a question. What's up, man? You haven't been around for a while, but let me ask you this question. If you get out of sync, as you say, because everybody sync up, is it possible that you can resync with that person?
I mean, it's possible. It depends on how did y'all leave. If y'all left where there's so much turmoil and argument, and if you can find, if you can, and that person can reconnect, and then y'all can, like, say with me, if I break up with a woman and the terms wasn't real nasty or whatever, where it's real, where it was, we don't want to see each other no more. And then, but I realize now with what's going on with anybody who I come in contact with, if we having some bad words or something, I know I do like Christ do. I say I forgive them, for they don't know what they're saying or doing. So I forgive my anybody that I have bad. But if, like your question, it's possible, man. Anything is possible to reconnect. Because some women I've been with in the past, I wish I could reconnect with them. Because I know it a little bit more, at least how to listen to a woman, and I know all the maroon zones on a woman, all her sweet spots, when I didn't pay attention to when I was with her. So now I learned my lesson. I figured it out. Like a woman, like a flower, and a woman is like just like a vehicle, a car. You can't just get in her and ride. You got to warm her up and cherish her and have, like that conversation me and you had before. But I said about sometimes women talk too much, but you got to have a cerebral intercourse with a woman anyway before you even think about undressing her. You got to get between her left ear and her right ear, and if y'all have good cerebral intercourse, then everything else will be good.
Yes.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Can I add to that?
Yes. Whoever wants to, go ahead.
All right, now I don't see anybody trying to rush on in this room here, but you know I've been around the sun. I've orbited the sun 68 times. Married 3 times. Now, my dad told me stay with them 10 years and get rid of them, get a new one. So I think I kind of lived that life.
Wow. Ain't that? Oh, my goodness. Like a worn-out rag. Throw them away after years and get you a new brand.
So they got an expiration date on it. That's what he's saying. It's an expiration date, like some food or something.
Wait a minute. Now, both of you have said there's only one love. So if there's only one love, how can there be an expiration date?
Who did you say? Both of you. I didn't say that,
Wesley and Robert.
I didn't say there was an expiration date. There is no expiration date.
Okay.
That's man. That's man saying that. That's not conscious.
I wouldn't say an expiration date. I say pretty soon you're going to split up, man. I mean, like we came in the world by ourselves. Eventually, everybody's going to go back to the source by ourselves anyway. So, I mean, it is what it is. I guess that's life, man.
Well, you know, I think one of the big problems is this. Ministers even have problems with this. And that is the descent of man. Now, let me try to explain in my studies. And I get that information that I have from a book called Thinking of Destiny. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah.
Okay. I get that information that I'm about to tell you from a book titled Thinking of Destiny by Harold Waldman Percival. Now, he states that at one time, the female and male were one in spirit at one time. Then something took place, and it caused new births on different planets where a woman was born and a man was born, two different entities. So it when people get together, men and women get together, it's a natural thing, but they can never be together. They're always separated. And I think as time goes on, let's say hundreds of thousands of years, a million years, 2 million years from now, I believe that the man's side and the woman's side are going to reconnect. Okay? They're going to be one again in spirit with consciousness. So whatever happened, I don't know. I won't know till I leave Earth again, because I don't know if you all know this or not, but it's part of my belief that when you go to sleep, I know that Mr. Talk was talking about something about dreams earlier, but when you go to sleep, your spirit leaves your body. Your body's still awake. I mean, it still lives, but the spirit leaves your body and goes to, like, the round table with consciousness at the helm. Then you discuss whatever you do. Then you come back into your body just before you wake. Okay, so if you were asleep for 2 minutes, you were gone, came back within that 2 minutes. But the thing is, the man and woman can never ever be together until they are somehow spiritually joined together as one. I don't know if that's a hard concept for you to pick up, but we were all one at one time, male, female. It was one spirit. Okay, but something happened up there. And we ended up being born as male, another one a female, and we've been trying to get together ever since, but not knowing why. So I tried to give a little explanation there. We can't ever get together. So we're always going to have problems. We're always going to have divorces. We're always going to have fights. It doesn't make sense. I never did go on to get a fourth one. The last one was, almost 20 years ago. So I've been kind of living by myself, 20 years. And it's not hard. It's not easy either. You know, I miss female companionship, okay, on a daily basis. I do miss that. And we as humans are always going to want the opposite sex to at least be around.
I disagree with you on that, because you got some of these LGBTs, that the same-sex folks, they love just as much as heterosexual folks, man.
I understand that.
I don't condone any lifestyle, because I'm hetero all the way through and through, but I mean, yeah, love is love, man. I mean, if they say they're in love, that's their business too, man.
I doubt it. I doubt two of the same sexes could ever be joined together. That's an impossibility. That's one impossible thing, I will say. That's not consciousness. That isn't what he wants.
Well,
that isn't the way it was.
Mr. Gomer saying, man, you're trying to read what somebody else do, man. Because like I told before, what somebody else eat don't make you do.
Well, I understand. I understand. We never read the same book, okay? But, you know, it's not taught. That part of consciousness is not being taught. And ministers don't even teach themselves that. It's you got to be part of the higher consciousness. You have to have a higher vibration to even begin thinking of reading that book. I've only been in spirituality for 2.5 years. I was a rebel.
Are you talking about? What book are you talking about? Explain upon the book you're talking about.
Well, that's Thinking of Destiny. If you open the cover and you begin reading, and all of a sudden you put it down, it wasn't really meant for you to read yet, because you have to be at a certain vibrational level to even begin understanding what's in that book. And I don't have a full understanding. There's so many concepts. You see, the higher you go in spirituality, I'm realizing, the more esoteric information comes alive, and you begin to study and understand that. If I said that Jesus went to Egypt to a mystery school, you would begin to wonder, what the hell am I talking about? Well, he did go. So did Mary and so did Joseph. They all attended the same school. Esoteric meaning, you know, higher learning. Okay, I'm not talking about college or university or being a PhD. I'm talking spiritually on a higher vibrational level. And Jesus was able to regenerate himself, which he did. That's why he told the apostles, don't touch him, because he hasn't ascended yet. But he was in his new vibrational body. But the Thinking and Destiny is a mystery school. It is.
Let me ask you a question. You said something about Yeshua, okay? And do you know that Yeshua say, the things I do, you can do also? Do you think
we'll
be able to do what he did?
Yes. That's called regeneration. See, you have to regenerate in order to do that. You can get powers, but you have to be spiritually advanced. You have to be vibrationally advanced. And to give you a good example, I just watched a video yesterday, and I couldn't believe what the man was talking about. The man was actually talking about what I've been studying. And he was talking about a UFO that he was privy to see, because people wanted him to fix the engine. And he touched it, and it felt like his hands was going into the metal. In other words, he was of such a vibrational, higher vibration than other human beings, that he was ready for new knowledge. Well, he already had the knowledge. He was gifted since he was 10 years old. So he was building rocketry, but that engine that he built could travel, 8,000 miles in a split second.
It's Mach 1.
I mean,
it's Mach 1.
It's called First Strike. First Strike is the winner of the war, whoever gets there first. So
that's
they
the
have these engines, right?
Point. Yes,
but
the sound.
The point I'm trying to make is this. If you're not growing spiritually, raising your vibrations, you're going nowhere. I was saying catastrophes in the board, in the chat room. Well, when the catastrophes come, it's more than likely going to leave anywhere from 500,000 to about 500 million people. Well, where's the other people going? Well, light is in charge now. Darkness lost, and they still have 33% of the power, but light now has 66% of the power.
I agree.
People right now are losing certain jobs because they're not vibrationally higher to remain in those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships are breaking up because the difference between light and darkness.
Mm-hmm.
That's one reason why there's many breakups right now, and it's going to become more so till May, when light is in fully charged then, and you'll see a lot of things taking place.
Mm-hmm.
The diseases will be in full swing. The banking institutions will begin to take a nosedive. The cabal will be put out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And catastrophes will take place, and they're going to leave. The people of darkness are going to leave.
You're absolutely correct, brother. You're right on the money, man. I like talking to you, man, because you know what time it is, man. You definitely know what time it is.
But that's what's happening.
Yeah,
and I wondered what you have been wondering. Why did I like that woman so much and it just didn't work out, right? Then I sit back and I analyzed it years later, saying, oh, that woman was pure darkness, you know, pure darkness. And I was of the light. I've been of the light since I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And I pick up esoteric teachings very quickly. You'll hear about the Newman in the future, but I am a Newman, and there's 615 of us on the planet right now. But that number will be growing.
That's
and
right.
And a lot of people are Newman in waiting and new women in waiting.
Hold on for a minute, Robert.
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Can you say that again? I didn't hear that. You are a what?
A Newman. I'm one, too. I'm a new one, too. You're right.
A Newmer? Can you explain what a Newmer is? Because I'm sure my listeners are like, a what? Can you explain that?
Yes. A Newman is a Newman is a person, either a man or woman,
mm-hmm.
who is at a higher vibrational level.
That's right.
Than others.
That's right.
There's more light. I have about 95% aqua energy in me right now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be getting our powers beginning in May.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever heard of the term of orbing,
mm-hmm.
or
yeah.
transforming,
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Or enhanced creation, those are the powers that Newman will have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, women are taking over. Women will be now the boss,
yeah.
and man will not be the boss.
That's right.
They will
You're
be
right.
the listeners.
Yeah.
So there are 600 new women
mm-hmm.
and only 15 new men.
That's right.
I joke about that. I joke about that because us new men are going to have fun because new women can only be with new men.
That's right. Precisely right. That's what I'm trying to tell y'all, man. He's right. I'm one too. I know what time it is. He know what time it is. Break it on down, my teacher.
So right now on my web page, you can click on new women, new men, and you can start your learning. Because it'll take you into two websites, which are at the bottom or somewhere near the bottom of my page. It's designed for a cell phone. That's why I've been so busy on my web page is because that's where people are going now instead of cell phones. So my web page, if you look at it, it looks kind of strange, but it's designed for a cell phone. So you can look at it on an iPhone or whatever. Android.
So what's your web page now? What's your page is now again?
TRMBS.com.
Okay.
That's the Robert M. Barber Show. It's TRMBS.com. Right.
TRMBS.com.
Plus, if you went to my show, you'll see two shows there. One talks about my web page. And the other talks about new women and new men. It explains who we are and what our purpose is. You see, people in darkness are going to leave Earth. There's no doubt about it. They're gone. They're gone. They're leaving. The only ones who will remain are new men in waiting and new women in waiting, which could number anywhere from 500,000 to about 500 million.
That's
now, my spiritual teacher has already told me that he is not sure, although his messages, he's very spiritually oriented and is like 24/7 in touch with spirits and consciousness. So
let me ask this question. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Because, I mean, I hear y'all saying the new men and the new women. So basically what you're saying, if you're not a new man or a new woman and you don't have this certain vibration, you just out left out there on your own, basically.
No.
You
can be part of the 500,000 to 500 million that will remain on Earth.
Yeah, that be stuck in this here. Yeah,
right.
Right.
All the other billions of people will be leaving Earth. Why? Because the vibration will be so high on Earth.
Yeah.
They couldn't stand
it. They can't stand it, man.
They can't take the pressure.
The frequency.
Yeah, they're
right.
Gone. They're out of here. So
are you going to move on? If you're the evil ones that know how to move, you got extraterrestrial that's running this evil stuff, you won't be able to stand this planet, or either that, some people are going to die, but they won't be able to speed up.
Right. They're leaving. They're leaving Earth. Yeah. And it's coming soon. It'll be in your lifetime.
Sure.
And don't be afraid.
That's
if
right.
If you're a new woman in waiting or a new man in waiting, then you have to go to a new woman, new men rite. It's about a 5-minute rite, and it's all a mental exercise. And most people cannot complete the exercise. It's too demanding because, as I said, if you're vibrationally in tune with the ascension itself, then you got it made. You'll be on Earth probably for hundreds of thousands of years. Our job as new men will be to rebuild the surface of the Earth with the other 500,000 to 500 million people who will be learning how to raise their vibrations higher to become new women and new men.
That's right.
Now, I have learned what I know in 2.5 years. And when I look back at it, I say how dumb I was.
That's
thinking
right.
that I can fool God and join him and skate by as I've always done through my entire life.
That's right.
And it's a scary thing when I can look back and say how stupid I was to think that I can trick God into believing that I'm a cool cat and should stick around, right? Well, it's not
Robert,
so. Yes.
Please forgive me for interrupting you, but I need to let Mr. Talk know that I've invited Antoinette, Ms. Beasley, Ms. Lady to join the conversation. All your mics are open. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well,
hello,
welcome.
Sister Agonia. Hello, Mr. Robert.
Hello,
everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, how
Robert,
you doing?
You are a very nice gentleman, and I think that you mean well. But if you're going to be on here and say that you're one of 615 people and speak of as this, that you can prophesize the future, I have a hard time believing you. The one thing that I know for sure is that nobody can accurately predict the future all the time. You're speaking matter-of-factly as if you know what's going to happen in the future. No one I know has ever been able to do that. The way that you're talking, it's borderlines some type of delusional mental instability. And I'm not here to diagnose you, and you're free, and you see, and you're a very nice man. I don't have any problem with you, but the things that you're saying, they're like stinging my ears because I know that it can't be true. Wesley, it's good to have you back. I swear to God,
bro,
you would agree with anything anybody says. You know,
someone
has something to say, and you just buy along with it and agree with it. And
conversely, I knew you was going to disagree what anybody said.
I'm not that. Well, when somebody starts talking about they're one of 615 people in the world, and they're on operating on a higher frequency than everyone else, and they have a clear picture of exactly what's going to happen in the future, okay, I take issue with that. I take issue with that because I know that that's bullshit, and I'm not afraid to confront bullshit as bullshit. I think part of the problem around here a lot of times is a lot of people just let someone say anything and they don't challenge it at all. But that's all. You guys can continue. That's just my opinion.
Well, Mr. Robert, I don't mean any disrespect, but may I ask you a question, please? Hello?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, his frequency is so high where he's not going to entertain no kind of stuff like that, man. I mean, I'm just telling y'all, I can't speak for him, but that's what I'm picking up, man. He's not going to entertain no kind of low frequency question like that.
Wesley, you've known this man for all of 15 minutes.
How can you gauge his frequency? My brother, you can't tell nobody who they knew or what they knew about somebody else.
But you can play games if you want to. But how long have you known this man?
It all depends on man. You know, and no telling.
You were joining Tarkata last week. Two weeks ago, you were joining Tarkata. You like what he had to say.
Mr. Talk, it's a new day. Last week gone, brother.
Okay, gentlemen. We have Erica, a first-time caller on the line, and I would like to invite her. She has a question. Let me give her some love.
Hey, how you doing, Erica? Welcome to the Thunderdome.
Now, I don't know if this question has been asked or not, but if you take this test and you fail it, can you take it again, or does that mean you're out? Because really, this sounds like a cult to me.
Well, from where I sit, every day is a test, okay? So long as you're still on this planet, you got plenty of time to take the test over and over again until you get a passing grade. The test stop for you when they throw dirt on you and say acid, acid, dust to dust, your test's over.
Okay, but the other guy said that there was a five-minute test that you take in order to become a new man or a new woman. So,
well, Erica, Mr. Robert has dropped. He's not on the line anymore. So I guess he's left the conversation. Perhaps he got dropped off and maybe he'll rejoin us.
Oh, okay. So he can answer that question.
every day is a test. I mean, you, you can get your spiritual, spiritual score, and find out if you're on the plus or the minor column. And once you find out what your score is, then you know you're still here. Every day is a test. You can improve on your score every day.
Okay, so why is it that your spirituality is graded like you're in school? You know what you get once you die, and you go to either heaven or hell.
No, it's not what you when you die. It's always what you do on the planet. That dash between the day you come in, your earth date, and your last date. It's a dash in between it. And
exactly, but you said that there will be a score, and you'll know what you get. You should already know what you get or where you're going before you leave.
Right, but you concentrating on leaving. You the test is what you do when you here. If you got pure love, your frequency high. It's how do you talk and treat your people on this planet that you see every day. That's the test right there. If your frequency high enough,
but that has nothing to do with a high or a low frequency. That's just
yes,
how you're raised.
Yes, ma'am. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Your frequency and your tone. Do re fi mi fa so la fi do. It's all frequency and tones.
Okay. Well, brother, so in that case, I don't have to be a new woman if I treat everyone with love and respect because I'm already on a high frequency.
Okay, then you're good. You're already a new woman. If you already like that, you're good.
But I didn't take the test.
You take it. You already taking the test whether you know it or not.
Brother Wesley.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, Brother Wesley, what is the name of this philosophy or this system that you're talking about?
It's called Lifetime Evolve Yourself. Everybody got different names for this here. It's called, Mr. NK, he know about it too. And y'all
who?
Know about it too. The guy
called,
all
it's called
knowledge.
Psycho Beta Aqua Boogie Bio Aqua
Blue. Whatever, man. That's your definition, bro. Okay?
Super Groovalistic Profunctication.
Okay. Right,
I'll be the first one to tell you, dude, you are way the hell out there.
That's what they all say.
You are way out there. You've been having radio waves shot at you.
Yeah. It's all.
Why are you the one that talked about radio? You read some articles on radio waves, and you were talking about how you were mind controlled. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just bringing you up to speed.
You stuck on low frequency, bro. Okay, and I don't entertain.
I'm not stuck on a low frequency. I'm just calling it out. I'm just reminding you.
Okay, whatever, man. Whatever, bro. Whatever.
Just reminding you of what you said.
Yeah, you can't remind me, bro.
And I'm
you
not even trying
to
attack you.
God bless you, bro. You don't have no power to remind nobody but yourself.
But
you
I'm reminding you
Jackson.
And everyone else.
You
don't you remember when
brother,
you were talking
brother,
about that they were you're a targeted
brother,
individual
all due respect,
and they're
brother,
shooting
all due
and they're
respect,
shooting
my brother.
And they're shooting microwaves at you that are controlling
you.
You
too and everybody else, my brother. Can I respond upon you our last concept? Okay, only person that can remind me and you is who? What like my brother Michael Jackson say is the man in the mirror. Okay? That's the only person I answer to and talk to. Me and the creator and the man.
I'm not challenging you. I'm just stating a fact. That's factual.
Well, that's the words that come out between your top lip.
I'm just repeating what you said.
Okay, you can't repeat what you say. Don't worry about what I say. Don't worry about what somebody else say and do. Concentrate on you, raising your frequency.
Then why are you talking if you don't want anybody to hear it?
Now you
Why did you spend months on here convincing us that you're a target individual and that you're being and that you're subject to these radio waves and that the people are and that those people are after you? Why did you spend all that time doing that?
I'm just telling the truth, bro. Let me ask you something. You got a smart meter on your house. Where you get power from, man? What utility do you get power from?
I got a smart meter on my house. But
okay, thank you.
Are you still getting radio waves sent to you?
You are too, bro. But I rise above it. It don't bother me. You getting it too.
You sure seem bothered by it.
No, ma'am. We just talking, bro. Just wait. I talk. Don't you always worry about what somebody is doing? What is
I'm
Beezer
not worried
getting?
At all. I'm just glad you're way across country and you're not living that close to me.
You, my brother. All due respect, man, Mr. Talk, when some people bring a new concept to the planet, there's some people that won't be able to handle it, i.e., y'all remember Noah and Ezekiel, all the people in the book, when they came up, and when the divine creator is bringing knowledge to certain people, they cannot handle it. They either mock it or ridicule, and they won't be able to handle it. So, I mean, it is what it is. So go ahead and continue your consultation there, my brother.
I don't have any consultation. I was just bringing you up to speed.
Sir, it's
in case
not
you forgot
you,
the, in case you forgot
my brother,
the things that
my brother,
you were saying.
My brother, it's not your job to do what you do about somebody else. All you can do is tell what's happening to you and share your knowledge. Now, whether you or anybody else can, maybe you are between your left ear and your right ear is too much information for the computer. And if you go ahead and say it like that, and we'll move on to this high learning. If you can't compute it, then listen.
So they stopped sending you the radio waves to your brain, controlling what you do? Or you don't want to talk about that no more?
For me?
No. It's Wesley that was getting the radio waves. If you want,
Mr. Beasley, you already said, Mr. Beasley, I'm gonna expound upon you. You already said that you go from show to show, whatever somebody doing your job.
No, I don't.
It's documented, man. We got you on tape, bro. We got you on
tape.
You got
me on
tape shows.
Saying what? I
ain't
never said anything.
You got you on other shows saying that what you do is you just like the one that's a low frequency. Darkness, and you would not be able to make it to the next level. So go ahead and keep talking.
You know what? If you're going to the next level with your crazy ass, I don't want
to
go.
You leave the planet. It's time you
leave
the planet.
I don't want to be on the next level with you.
You on the clock, bro. Keep talking.
You're not on the clock? Are you one of the 615 people that the other guy was talking about?
Hello, can I say something? Are you looking at the Blog Talk Radio chat room? They're saying that this is Street Hood University and sounds like a lot of winos arguing. And
they just heckle people.
They always have loud conversations in the chat room, Miss Lady. What would you like to add today?
It was interesting. It sounds kind of new agey. You know, there's always some new age philosophy coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know anything about his philosophy or his religion or, you know, system, whatever, what he's talking about. I've never heard that before. But I do believe that there are people that are vibrating from different energetic levels, and you usually connect with people in a positive way when you are going to encounter another person vibrating on your level. So if you're high positive level, you're not going to be in synchronicity with somebody vibrating on a very deep, dark, low level.
You're right, Miss Lady. Go ahead.
Miss Lady, I think that's very interesting. And I have a theory. I just, you know, I'm not sure about it. But I've been doing a little reading and studying, and it seems to me that when you come up with an idea that there's only certain people, very, you know, small number of people that are elevated among, you know, above others. That's kind of reminds me of the 144,000 supposed to be raptured up, you know, that kind of thing. Now, some people out there are going to go crazy and say that I'm making fun of their religion, but I'm not. I'm just trying to make a point here.
I'll make fun of if it's crazy, but the that's you.
But don't throw me off here. I'm trying to say something. Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Speak.
Okay, now, at the beginning of this conversation, there was some talk about the fact that, you know, so many people are breaking up and most people are not in relationships, blah, 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 okay? That's true. That's very true. But my theory is that, you know, we came in our incarnation and we loved based on our bloodlines. You know, we had a kind of like a tribal or a group kind of thing, you know? Hundreds of years ago, and according to some, in our evolutionary process, we have to do what's called individuation, you know, where we develop our own ego, and we don't have tribalism, and we learn how to express ourselves and to grow spiritually to understand more about what love is, that it's not
That's
selfish,
right.
So forth and so on. I didn't say that very well, but hopefully you get the general idea where I'm going with that.
Yeah, you broke it on down good, because, I mean, what the whole thing this is about, either you're going to be able to comprehend and move to the next phase of learning in your life, or you're going to be stuck.
That's not what I was saying, Brother Wesley. Excuse me, Brother Wesley.
That's
not what
ahead.
I was saying, and I was addressing that to this lady.
Uh-huh.
Brother Wesley,
you're talking, you address it to everybody in the whole group that's listening.
Oh, I'm addressing it to Miss Lady, and I don't mean to be rude, but I'm addressing it to Miss Lady. I want to ask Miss Lady what she thinks about that, since we have so many people that are not in relationships, and we have a phenomenon where it seems like people that are in relationships can't stay in them. And again, I reiterate, so I won't be misunderstood, I re-reference the fact that, you know, earlier in our incarnations, we had a phenomenon where we basically just loved those in our group, in our tribe, and warred with everybody else that was different than us, which is still going on, by the way. So my theory is that the reason why we're having difficulties maintaining relationships at this point in our evolution is because we're being forced to grow and to individuate.
Absolutely. And I think if one person is pro-growth and actively working on growing and learning and becoming a better person, and the partner is not in this very highly resistant and obstructionist and saboteur, it's inevitably not going to work. And I see that happening, you know, everywhere, you know, in intimate relationships and non-intimate relationships and friendships or jobs. That's going on.
Could I expound on physics, the way the physics work, where everything seeks its own level. Like water seeks its own level. Electricity seeks its own level. So that's why people are splitting up and rejoining.
I think it's because we have to learn how to be whole people before you can be in a relationship. There has to be two whole people, not two people looking at a physical cord.
Absolutely. And, you know, what does that mean, whole? I mean, because I don't know you can ever be completely whole, because there's always growth, you know. But, I mean, at some point, you have to be able to really know that you have arrived at, you know, a really good understanding of yourself and life, what's important, what's not important, you know, who you want to spend your time with intimately and not intimately, and who you don't, and what your purpose is here. And so, you know, I don't think you can ever stop learning and growing, and I don't know if there's a point where you just say, I'm whole now. You know what I'm saying? But
I didn't mean it in that context. What I mean by whole is by you have individuated, having difficulty pronouncing that word. You have become your own person. You understand that you are a person who has you know, something
value.
To give. Sorry?
Value.
Yes.
You understand your value. Other people may try to devalue you. You can stand on your square and know who you are.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean by being a whole person. That you understand that you do not find externally happiness, joy, love, all of that's inside of you. And if you're looking for it outside, then you haven't become a whole person.
Absolutely.
Hello?
Yes.
But doesn't that...
Somebody's saying hello, Ms. Beasley. Who's saying hello?
It's Erica.
Oh, okay, Erica. You want to ask a question or make a comment, yes. Erica?
Make a comment. I think what I was going to say was, I think what you were also trying to say is that person is an individual and they don't depend on someone else to define them or find that identity in that other person, because whoever you're with is supposed to complement you.
Yes. Yes. So you're two people who are willing to share with each other, but they're not dependent on each other. They're willingly sharing themselves with the other.
Right.
That's what I mean by two whole people.
Okay, gotcha. That's all. I'm done.
Thank you, Erica.
Okay. Now, you know what? There was a man talking earlier about how his father told him, oh, every 10 years get a new one. That's kind of ridiculous because why not work? Well, you work with the one that you have so you can build something of substance. And because, you know, it's always the rebuilding, tearing down, rebuilding and tearing down. And I think that's what he's afraid of is becoming dependent. Emotionally dependent is afraid of getting hurt. Therefore, just keep it surface and move on every 10 years, which is really unfair to the person you're with, perhaps.
Maybe.
Are you all there?
Maybe. Yes.
Okay. Ebony's joined the line.
Hi, guys. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I'm not going to comment. I'm just going to listen to you guys because, really, I was just listening in. But I'll jump in when I hear something that I want to comment on. How
well,
is
we
everyone?
Know you, we know you will, Ebony. Whenever we're talking about relationships, we know you're going to be here.
Yeah.
That's a good
thing. I have been listening
well,
from the beginning.
That,
so.
Oh, it was interesting. Whatever that new man, religion or philosophy is, was interesting. But
very nice man, very nice man. But if you let him go long enough, he's out there. He's one of 615. He's one of 615 people out of 7 billion people that has a special frequency.
And he has a
crystal ball, and he tells you exactly what's going to happen in the future.
Well, what was interesting to me was he said the women were going to be basically taken over. I wanted to hear him expound more about that and why is that, and what's going to happen to all the patriarchs that call in on the show?
Well, guess they'll just have to put on their skirt. Just have to put on their apron and get in the kitchen. And get the mop on the floor and having babies and doing what they're told, love and obey their wife. A lot of men
do that
already.
Is that how the alpha males are going to handle it, Beasley?
I don't know. I don't see what the big problem is.
Well,
long,
I want
to as long as someone is respectful and polite to me, I can be respectful and polite to them. And if you got a partnership with someone, then there shouldn't be any gender rules as far as what needs to get done.
Well, Mr. Beasley, I want to remind you that we all have both feminine and masculine within us. So when you have a relationship, you're really dealing with four people, not two. Or not people, but four vibrations.
Okay.
Starting to sound like these crazy people, Ngonya.
No, I mean, you have a Y and an X chromosome, don't you, Mr. Beasley? You had a mother and a father, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's where I'm coming.
That's a way of looking at it. I mean, I guess that just applies to gender.
We have qualities, feminine, both and masculine, within us. Both women and men do. So that's what's wrong with the world now, in my humble opinion, is it's out of balance. As far as, you know, some say we have cycles within cycles, and every 2,160 years, we go from a feminine vibration back to a masculine vibration. We're now in a masculine vibration where we had the patriarchy for the last 2,000 years, and we're moving back towards a feminine vibration, which just means that men need to get in touch with their nurturing part of them and stop acting like warriors and having wars all over the planet, and women need to learn how to assert themselves, not to be men, but to assert themselves, to develop themselves, and to be in balance. That's where I'm coming from.
That's logical to me. That makes sense. You can see evidence of that.
Yeah, but
that's logical.
I mean,
that makes sense, and I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with it. I'm not going to try to fight the forces of nature. That's a losing battle. I'll just go with the flow. I just hope I just.
I wanted to say. Can I say something? I wanted to say hi to Beasley because I haven't heard him for a while.
Hello.
Oh, hi. But I was listening to Bob. Was it Bob or Rob earlier? The guy that was on talking about how men and women had been separated, and we've been trying to get back to each other ever since. And I was just wondering, was the separation, you know, when Eve ate the fruit, or what was the separation? Because that sounds like creation story, where we were separated by someone's behavior. So I don't know what that separation is, but everybody talks about a separation. Christianity says it was the separation because of what happened in the garden. I don't know. I'm just saying, I just wondered what he was talking about in terms of how we've been separated and how we're still trying to get back to each other. But that's just, yeah, it's just something I wondered. I don't know if he's still online, but that was a question I wanted to ask him. If he's gone quiet.
No, I don't. He's not in the chat room.
Oh, he's not there.
No,
oh,
he's not
okay.
In the chat room. And I was as polite. I mean, I was doing my best to be polite. I don't dislike him, but, you know, I was listening to what he was saying, and it just didn't make any sense to me.
It was kind of way out there.
My other question may be, what about the fact that we now have the means to stop reproduction, okay? I think that maybe has affected the way that women are about their bodies and, you know, that whole ability of being able to stop, you know, ourselves from getting pregnant may have affected the way that we interact with the opposite sex and even how the opposite sex view us. I think it used to be the case that people got together more or were more concerned about, you know, producing a child, those people who are in childbearing age, okay? And so the focus was more about, you know, do I want to develop a family with you? Am I looking to create a future? So I was more careful. People may have been more careful about choosing a partner and choosing the right person because there was that possibility that you could create a life. And that, you know, that would be the beginning of a family and a lifelong connection with that person. I think the having the opportunity to have family planning, I think has changed the dynamics of sex. You know, people can now have sex and they don't have that worry, you know, and for women it can go on indefinitely if they choose. And I think that has made a difference. You know, to how we see ourselves and the choices we make. I just wonder what you guys think.
Hasn't birth control been along? How long has birth control been around for?
It's been around for a while, but I think
50 years, 60 years. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think that definitely may have affected the way that we choose relationships and stuff. Because now you don't have to worry about a woman getting pregnant. There are a lot of women that are choosing not to get pregnant at all, and they don't have to.
And
I mean, it's made a difference.
Right. I think what's also made a big difference is that women are encouraged, or women are career-minded and don't have the limitations that they had years before, and society hasn't changed, and a woman's encouraged to create a career for herself and make her own way in the world. And when she does get into a relationship with the man, and if it were to lead to marriage, or if it's a relationship where they have children or whatever it is that she doesn't have to be subjected to whatever the man says or wants or does because he's the breadwinner. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's the biggest change of all.
Yeah.
That changes everything. I mean, he who has the gold makes the rules.
Yeah, maybe some truth there.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth there. And you're right. And being able to control when you have children or not makes a big factor as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've entered into the new age.
We have.
According to Mingonia, and that makes sense. That makes more sense than some of the other stuff I've heard earlier.
Well, I wondered about that because I think we talk about women becoming more feminine, maybe losing their femininity, men getting more in touch with themselves. But I don't know that I hear that side, but I don't know how much of that is important because I think people are finding a different way to coexist in relationships. I don't think people are even getting in touch with themselves. I don't think there's no in touch with anything that's happening. And I don't know that even becoming more feminine is making a difference to the choices that people will make out there. It just is, I think, a completely different world to what it was maybe 20 years ago. In the dating world, and only because I work with young women and much younger women than myself, and I hear the conversations and I talk to them each day about choices that they make and their friends are making, and I'm like, whoa, I don't even recognize. It's not even dating anymore. It's just like, can I get some sex? When will I get some sex? Who's willing to give it up? How quickly can I get it? You know, and that's how it works.
It's always been like that.
Yeah, but it seems to be much worse now. I don't know.
It's worse?
I don't know if you feel like it's worse. It feels like it's worse, but maybe it isn't. I don't know.
What makes it worse? Do you have women that think like that too? Or younger women that think like that too?
Yeah, women are more doing it as well now in a bigger way. Yeah.
I don't know if that's worse. That's just different. You're right about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Women are more assertive and more aggressive, and there's less shame, and people embrace their sexuality at a younger age, and it's more out in the open.
Absolutely. Just my thoughts, anyway. Everybody else has gone quiet.
You guys made some interesting points. So,
well,
Ebony,
how about those Academy Awards?
Oh, please, no, Mr. Beasley. Ebony, what do you think, what is your idea of the institution of marriage? Frankly, I think it's overrated.
Overrated? No, I don't think so. I think it is what you want it to be. I think there's some people who still believe that it's a great agreement to make between yourself and someone else if you can find the right person to hook up with. I think it's a better choice than some of the stuff that's happening right now where a lot of women are just going out and men are just going out and fishing around and with not much security or any real agreement between themselves about how they will coexist and how they will relate with each other. And I think that, you know, there is a lot of unhappiness in our behaviors currently, and that freedom that we have is not all that it's, you know, made out to be. So I think if that's your choice, I think it's a great thing if you could make that choice. I mean, I have four friends this year who have a couple who I was coaching who have chosen to get married. I don't really think it's a great thing if you want to make that choice and you find the right person that you want to, you know, make the agreement with. If you feel that security, and these are people in their 40s and 50s who are making that choice, I'm happy for you. You know, that's
well,
what you choose to do.
Let me play the devil's advocate real quick.
Excuse me, Mr. Beasley. Excuse me. I was talking about the institution of marriage, and the reason I say it's overrated is because of age involved. So therefore, to me, I changed the institution of marriage. It's made it more like a business deal than it is a union between two people who love each other.
All right.
That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah. I hear that, but I think a marriage, just like any other contract or agreement, is what you design it to be. It's you decide what kind of marriage you want, and how you And whether you want to go to the state to confirm it, or whether you want to decide you jump the broom or what you want to do, whatever it is, you can choose to design it the way that it suits you if you want that.
Are you saying, Ebony, you don't think the fact that you have to go get a license and that everything now, it revolves around, you know, a contract, so forth, so on, as opposed to when people used to write their marriages in the Bible and they used to have their family and it was more of a spiritual union? Are you saying that you don't think the state being involved in it has affected the fact that, you know, most marriages don't last? You don't think there's any connection there?
No, because I think people are the people who make the agreements are the people that have got the issue. I think the reason why marriages don't last is because there's too much, there's too much opportunity to play around and to not be as serious as you were when you made the commitment. So people jump out of that when they get tired of sticking with what other people have done for years. So it's not the institution. That hasn't changed. Well, that's the same way it always has been. You do the church thing and then the law backs it up. That's no different to how it has been for the last 40, 50 years. It's been the same way that your parents and my parents got married. It's been the same. Why is it different now, suddenly different now? You know, you go in church if you want to go in church, you make your vows, or you go to a registry office and you make a vows. Those vows are your agreement. If you decide that you want a prenup and all the rest of it because you need to secure the money or whatever it is you have created, the wealth you've created,
yes,
that's a choice. That's another aspect.
I was so stressed. I can remember what.
That's another aspect. Sorry.
Who is that, Miss Lady, trying to chime in?
Oh, no, I'm working and mumbling to myself. I'm sorry. I should go on mute. I'll put myself on mute.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't
I just think the prenups and all that stuff that people talk about is just another part of it. And mainly, I think it's celebrities who do prenups. And people who feel they have so much money that they don't want the other person, should it fall apart, you know, they lose the money or whatever it is, the wealth they've created. And I understand that. That's legitimate. Because if you get to a certain age and you've created loads of stuff and you've worked really hard, what you don't want is a relationship to mess with that, because that may be, money that you have for your children and your grandchildren. So, you know, I understand that side.
That's why it's foolish to get married.
Right. Yeah.
All these people that you advise and you think it's great that they're getting married, two or 3 years down the line, or maybe a year down the line, or however, and two people can be at each other's throats and fighting over property where it gets so nasty, so ugly, and turns into a War of the Roses type of things. However, if they were not married and they were just boyfriend-girlfriend, they can break up. There still may be some pain and some heartache, but there's not all of that other stuff, and there's no courts involved. Hopefully there's no courts involved.
Well,
I think marriage is a completely failed institution, and I think what you're counseling these people is really backwards.
No, if you're living together, Beasley, and you have children and you've lived with that person over a certain amount of years and you decide you're going to end the relationship, it will go to court. It will go to court. Because
okay,
by the fact that you have been with that person for several years, you have created a marriage. Okay?
It doesn't necessarily have to go to court.
Well, if you disagree with how you're going to split what it is you've both created together, achieved together, then of course it will go to court. Because you're going to have rights, she's going to have rights, and, you know, if it's not fairly split, there's going to be issues. I have a friend right now who's just been living with someone for the last nearly 30 years, and their relationship has broken down. And they're going to court because there are properties involved. There's a matter of who's going to pay for the schooling and all the rest of it for their kids. It's as much as if they were married and had gone to church.
that's the exception.
Gone,
that's the exception and not the rule. That's the exception
Sorry?
And not the rule.
Well, that's you're not exposed to all relationships. So I'm saying that.
No, and neither are you. And
one
neither
person,
are you.
Neither am I. I'm saying that's
right.
just an example that I'm giving you of someone I know
who
has been with someone many years. And the other thing is, and the other thing that you can't discount is if you spend 20 or 30 years more and you accumulate stuff with someone, if you do not marry that person and you die, the state can take your home from you. Now, that's the other thing. You know, there's things that you lose by not creating a union that is
You know what? Anyone that's worried about that and they're dead, they really have their priorities messed up.
Okay.
I mean, when
I'm
you're
not
dead,
talking
you're
about,
gone.
I'm
I
saying,
understand leaving
someone,
for your
I'm
children.
I'm saying if someone dies, say your partner dies, and you hear this
You made your point.
People.
You made your point. And
yeah.
if someone is dead, then I doubt they're worrying about where their assets went. They're dead.
Yeah, but what
They're
if
gone.
You've left
it's
children
over.
Behind? What if you've left children behind and people who
you,
should have benefited
you make
from all the work
you make
put
provisions
in.
For your children. Some people. I know a lot of adults that don't even have relationships with their children, or with their adult children.
Yeah.
And don't want to leave them. And don't want to leave them. And don't want to leave them anything.
Okay.
Again, each relationship is different, and we can
yeah,
pick out instances. I just feel that marriage
and what
is a
I'm
failed
saying is,
solution,
we do
and
know,
people are foolish to
do
it.
We do know that if you have a long-term relationship with someone, and this is how the law works, if you have a marriage arrangement, which is a legal arrangement, there's more protection for your kids and your grandchildren and in
no,
the future.
No, if you have a will,
is,
if you have, if you have, a, if you
legally.
Have, a, if you have a will, it doesn't matter. Okay, and if someone is thinking ahead and they have a will and they want to leave and do things for their children and leave things for their children so that their significant other doesn't, you know, benefit, each situation is different. You can pump and push marriage all you want.